The point. Hello, it's Mike Robin. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. Remember how they left Warehouse 13 at the first half of Season 4? Well, they're back. And how are they going to clean that up? We talked to the cast and the crew, and we got some answers for you coming up. In the meantime, Man of Steel now showing at Walmart, and Daredevil back home at Marvel where he belongs. Let's get to the point.
This is The Point, The Point Radio. Get The Point Radio.
When Warehouse 13 concluded the first half of its fourth season a few months back, fans were puzzled as to how they could go on from there. There was quite a mess to be cleaned up, especially involving Saul Rubinick's character Artie. And that challenge was tackled head-on. Showrunner Jack Kinney explained.
Artie's having a very hard time dealing with what he did. He doesn't, you know, he was affected by an artifact, but he sees it as his hand is the one that did it, and so he's responsible. So there's that hurdle that has to be left over in terms of Artie making his peace with what an artifact made him do. And then there is the tension between Claudia and Artie that we spend the next actually three episodes dealing with in terms of what she had to do to him. You know, she had to stab him and then bring him back when he didn't want to come back, and a lot of other tension-riddled issues that they have to deal with. So those are some big hurdles to get over. And then also the rest of the crew has to help Artie with this. I mean, there's a second episode where Micah and Steve are helping Artie and dealing with Artie. And then ultimately we bring – and then there's a beautiful moment too where Pete sort of stands up and gives a speech to the Regents on Artie's behalf. I mean, the family is rallying around their essentially patriarch to help him deal with this and to help – the warehouse move on with what it has to do. And and then we bring in Kelly Hu, who ostensibly comes to run the B&B, and we find out that she actually has a deeper purpose here, and ultimately an even deeper one that I don't want to reveal yet, but a deeper purpose in that she is there for our people to talk to. Because I think the Regents come to the conclusion that, you know, when you die and come back to life, when you kill someone you love, when you are attacked by an artifact and almost killed, that maybe there's some issues that have to be dealt with, so a little PTSD. And so Kelly's here for that.
Another big hurdle, the loss of Janelle Williams' character, Lena.
Well, it was very difficult, for all of us, and because Janelle is so sweet and wonderful. There's a lot of different levels that played on for me and as a showrunner and head writer too. We needed somebody to die and stay dead because we brought back Artie, we brought back Steve, and you know if death doesn't mean anything, then the stories no longer have stakes. If you can bring back anybody from the dead, then death is no longer a danger, and so it becomes impossible to make something dangerous and to raise the stakes in a story. So we had to lose someone that stayed lost so that we could deal with real mortality. Especially since mortality was such a strong element of our season this year, so that was one thing that was very important. Then it became, well, who can we lose? Who in the cast can we lose? And yet it would still have a powerful impact on everybody. And Lena was the obvious choice because it was hard to get Lena into stories, into artifacts, snag and bags, and she's not an agent. And yet it would have meaning for the cast to lose that character, for the actors to lose her, because she's such a warm and lovely presence and such a loving presence in their lives. So it was sort of the perfect opportunity to really, you know, punch everybody in the gut and have them have to deal with something, you know, monumental in their lives. Any other external character wouldn't have meant the same thing. And also such an innocent, such a pure innocent who was literally turned around to help Artie when she thought he needed it, would essentially gave her life. And then, you know, as in the second episode, one of the things we tried to show was that, you know, everybody knows what they're getting into when they go to work for the warehouse. It is a dangerous job. It's like joining the military. You could lose your life and you have to be prepared for that. So that was also very important. But everybody, you know, Janelle was so lovely and so sweet, and everybody loves her. And we do get to see her in a few more episodes because, as you know, it's sci-fi. Once you're dead doesn't mean you're off the show.
There's some great guest stars in the next run of episodes, and that's nothing new for Warehouse 13. As series star Eddie McClintock told me, a lot of folks are happy to come on in and play.
One of the great things about being on Warehouse 13 is you know, when you're on a successful show, successful people want to be a part of it. And so I think we've been really lucky in regards to our guest cast. You know, having James Marsters and Anthony Head, you know, in the same show, in the same season, you know, it's pretty cool. I know the legions of Buffy fans are just going to go crazy. Pauly Walker, and not just the fact that they have fans, but that they're also great actors, you know. And I mean, I would do well to sit back and take notes a lot of times because, you know, the talent that we've been able to have come through has been really great. And it's a testament to the show and to the writing and to the network.
Jack Kinney agrees.
They were just great. I mean, they you know, it's nice that you get the actors and they understand the genre. And then, as Eddie was saying, they're also tremendous actors. So they can really play into the sci-fi fantasy of it and also bring you some real good, you know, just some real good acting, if you know what I mean. They just fit right into the group. They joined us at our level, and that's always welcome and exciting. And then we've got, you know, coming up this season, we've got, as been announced, Joel Grey is coming to join us in episode 14 with Steve Valentine and Nora Zettner. In episode 13, we do an episode where Pete and Micah fall into the world of noir, film noir, and we're joined by Missy Pyle and Enrico Colantoni, sort of a Galaxy Quest reunion. Two people also who just fit in with it. I mean, Enrico had such a great time on the show, he came back to hang out on the set on another episode just because he liked everybody so much.
Yeah. And he said the vibe on this set is unlike anything I've ever experienced. I just want to come and hang out with you guys.
Another favorite recurring character, H.G. Wells, played by Jamie Murray. And Jack says we'll see more of that this season as well.
Yeah, it's a really great storyline with her and Pete and Micah on a chase. And that we kind of find out where H.G. ended up and what she's doing and is she happy doing it. It's a great episode. It was directed by Jennifer Lynch, David Lynch's daughter. Really fun.
Surrey star Joanna Kelly is pretty happy with the way her character has been written to interact with Jamie's.
Definitely. I think it's any relationship between two people who are the same, you know, sex, roughly the same age. Sometimes it's like looking in the mirror a little bit, especially with your best friends, you know?
Yes.
You ask the questions maybe you can't ask yourself. Of the other person, you know. So I think it's a really interesting dynamic, and I'm excited for the fans who are a fan of that relationship to see that episode because I think they'll be very happy.
Not that long ago, there was talk of a H.G. Wells spinoff series, and I asked Jack if that was still a possibility.
Bob Goodman and I, one of my other writers on the show here, and I pitched a series for H.G. And I think at the time we pitched it as a period piece in 1890s New York. As she was kind of a Sherlock Holmes kind of character, also scouting for Warehouse 13. So it was, but you know, those things get expensive. and I think that just development slates get filled up with other things, and so they take their time. Nothing's ever dead in Hollywood. Sure, a movie would be great. I'd love to do a movie with that character. I'd love to do the series. I'd love to have her back on the show occasionally, just playing H.G. in our world. So I can't say that anything's in the offing, but I can say that I'm open to anything anybody wants to do because I love the character. I love the relationship and the dynamic she has both with our characters and with the world in general. And I think it would be a really dynamic, fun character to have on TV that kind of isn't there right now. That sort of metrosexual period piece woman who is smarter than anybody else in the room. I'd love to dive into that sometime.
There's lots more coming up on Warehouse 13. New episodes every Monday on Sci-Fi, and you can always see more, of course, at sci-fi.com. Hey, here we go with the latest in pop culture. It's a new layer to competition and reality TV with a new 24/7 live competition series headed to NBC in the fall. It's called the Million Second Quiz. It lasts 12 nights in a row, and it involves contestants in a giant hourglass held in the middle of New York City, where they'll be pretty much answering questions 24-7, given some time to sleep and eat and, well, pretty much just regroup. Now, like I said, there's a lot of layers to this, including viewers playing at home and then being able to be flown in direct to the competition as well. It's a whole different experience with a cash prize of about $10 million. NBC will have plenty to say on this, I'm sure, over the next few months. But Million Second Quiz will debut in prime time in the fall on NBC. It's a unique first-ever screening of Man of Steel that'll take place at 7 o'clock on the night before the film opens on June 13th. And to get the tickets, you have to go to Walmart. Tickets will be on sale that day, and there'll be a limit of 4 per visit. There'll be both 2D and 3D tickets sold in local Walmarts with tie-in, we assume, with a local theater for this. There's a free digital comic included, one written by David Goyer, by the way. And each ticket contains a code to allow you to order a Blu-ray combo pack or HD digital download of the film, with some exclusive content, too, just for Walmart customers. Check it out at your local Walmart for information, or go to Walmart.com. You've probably seen the promos for the new USA series Graceland. Well, now for a limited 2-week period, you can actually see the pilot for free. It'll be available for free on video on demand on most carriers like Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Charter, Cox, Cablevision, DirecTV, and more. It covers the story of several different forms of U.S. law enforcement, all residing under the same roof. The series premieres on USA on June the 6th. It looks like Lee Pace will be joining the cast of James Gunn's Guardians of the Galaxy. Now, you might remember that Pace was actually in the running for the lead role that ended up going to Chris Pratt a few months back. No word yet on exactly what character he'll play. It will be a villain, and things are in negotiations right now. But according to Hollywood sources, they look pretty strong for Pace to be added to the cast officially over the next few days. Well, the clock ran out and Matt Murdock is home. Fox has lost the movie rights to Daredevil, which have now reverted to Marvel. They were under a deadline to get a film into production by October 10th of last year. They failed to do so. And so now Marvel is back having control of the property. But with a full slate of films already planned through 2015 in Marvel's Phase 2, don't look for a Daredevil movie for, well, at least another good 3 or 4 years. Futurama has faced cancellation again. Comedy Central has said that the 7th season that launches in a couple of months will be the last. So that puts 140 episodes out there, 52 of which were the ones on Comedy Central after Fox canceled the show a few years ago. Of course, as you know, when it comes to Futurama, this does not necessarily mean the end of anything. In fact, a couple of days ago, Matt Groening did make announcements that he is shopping the property around looking for a new home. It looks like Archie's Red Circle line is getting more and more into the superhero world in a serious sense. They have been doing the new Crusaders, which generally has been aimed at a younger audience for the past few months. Now they've announced a new series featuring the Fox, one of the great Golden Age characters, this time written by Mark Waid and drawn by Dean Haspiel as well. And that's all part of a trade paperback that will also be set for release in July, which features reprints of Alex Toth's version of the Fox and also some work by Steve Ditko and Carmine Infantino as well. As we said, that reprint trade is set for the summer, but no word yet on officially when new material will hit stores from Red Circle. NBC's pulled a plug on another series. This time it was Eva Longoria's reality show, Ready for Love. After 2 episodes, that was yanked from the schedule and replaced with episodes of Grimm in the Tuesday night slot, coveted on NBC because it follows the one real hit the network has right now, and that is The Voice. Having The Voice as a lead-in should give a nice boost to Grimm, which has already been renewed for a new season by NBC.
The Point.
All right, that's a wrap for the podcast, though. We got a lot to continue all weekend long and always on The Point Radio. Listen for free at GetThePointRadio.com 24 hours a day for some great programming, including some superstars like Mike Gold, Jimmy Palmiotti, the guys from Comic Culture, Comic Geek Speak, and so much more. You can also take us along on your iPhone or your iPad with our free app available in the iTunes App Store. It is under Pop Culture or The Point. Or if you have a Droid or a BlackBerry, use the app TuneIn and take us anywhere you want to. The podcast is produced twice every week by Malcontent Media. It turns up on websites like ComicVix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com and in the iTunes podcast directory as well. Need to follow us on social media? Well, we like that. And you can do it, of course, under The Point Radio on Twitter and on Facebook as well. See you in a few days.
Get The Point Radio.